Looks like everybody's done. Good evening. Good to see you here tonight. We probably got as many people here as we do in New Jersey, so it's like a split Walker session. Hopefully they usually announce the churches there and everybody gets to scream and yell, and I don't know. We might win it this year. But it's a big blessing. If you can go to Summit, I mean, I've been there many times. You can take your whole family. They have ministries and everything, and you know, just special activities for the kids, and they learn songs, but they're busy the whole time. It's not like there's a lot of downtime other than the scheduled rest between morning sessions and evening sessions. But you come home exhausted, you're gonna have a notebook full of things you can work on in your life. But if you can at all look at doing Summit, it's definitely worth the efforts. The Warners got to go for the first time this year, and I'm just hoping they come back, and you know, the kids are, you know, just totally wasted. And if you haven't had, what is it, water ice, is that what it's called? It's basically Italian ice or water ice, they call it there, but it's good stuff. They have all these little treats. They give you Philly cheesesteaks, you know, all sorts of good stuff. So, all right, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. We got a world that's continually losing its grip on reality and the truth of the Word of God. There's not a whole lot of things that anybody knows for sure anymore. I've been reading an old Ruckman book, how he basically takes on Einstein's theory of relativity and how it makes everything relative to something else, not an absolute truth that God's already told us in the Bible. And we see the downfall of humanity as now we can't define what a recession is, or a man, or a woman. Or everything is off the table in terms of being an absolute anymore. And that's the progression of what's happened in our scientific community. But tonight I want you to look at, we're going to look in Colossians, we're going to start off with Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." There's no doubt about this. This is what the Bible, the word of God, is. "Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So we see that it divides. The Word of God divides things correctly. So let's go over to Colossians chapter 2. I want you to see some different things here tonight about us, about the Lord, about the world a little bit. So I got this flyer I came up with. Kind of it evolved, it progressed here through the week. But I was reading in Colossians 2, and I noticed how there was a certain amount of things that I got to deal with, that you have to deal with in the world, in our own flesh, and then what God can bring us through. So we got three divisions on this piece of paper here, if you grabbed a handout. So I gave pens to the kids. If you have a pen, hopefully you can fill it out. But I want you to know some things that God's written down for us. We can rightly divide this word of truth. We're just going to study it a little bit, like it says in Timothy. So let's start in chapter 2, verse number 1. So Paul's writing to the Colossians, and he says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." So let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, we come to you again tonight, Lord. We thank you for being so merciful to us. Lord, we know that you love us, but God, sometimes we get distracted and maybe a little bit discouraged in this world here. Lord, help us to see that with your love, we have all that we need. We'll look at these verses tonight, God. Help us to just encourage ourselves in the Lord. Lord, we see that America, as it just wanders away from you, God, that we know that you can take care of us. But Father, we just see a nation that just desperately needs to turn back to you, and it has to start with us, God. But help us to know some things tonight from your word. Help us to see, God, that you've separated us unto these things in the world, Lord, for a purpose. God, just speak to us tonight now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at verse 6. This is where we're going to start our list here. So we have, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. So we have this new man, if you've received Christ, in verse number 6. So let's start over here on this right side column. I want to fill in this first in verse 6, because we're going to go back a little bit, but what's it say that we can do when we receive Christ? When you've received Christ, in verse number 6, what does God tell you to do? What's it say there? To walk. So when you receive Christ, that's the first thing in verse number 6 is, I can walk now. I can actually do something. Whereas before, God says that without me, ye can do nothing. So that's your first thing there. But here's some other things that you get once you're saved. We're talking to pretty much a saved crowd in here tonight, but I want you to see the differences that God lays out for us. So as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, in verse 6, so walk ye in him. Notice it says, in him. If you're not in him, it's going to be hard to walk correctly in this world. And some other things that are in him, look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in him. And established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Sometimes we get a little entitled in America. Is that a good word? Spoiled? Like somehow we deserve all the great things of life. But when you realize who God's made you and he's allowed you to be in him, you can do what with thanksgiving now? What's it say there? You can abound. Didn't Pastor Russo just preach about that word abound the other day? What's abound mean? Anybody remember what that definition was? To overflow. Just like the sweat, right, Jeremiah? You were up here. I saw you. That sweat gets you. It's like there's spotlights, but they're not there. It's like, what is going on here? So you can abound with thanksgiving because you got something to be thankful for, being saved from your sins. And we'll see this list in a minute here on the other side. So notice that it was pre-folded, right? Let me go back to this. So here's the lost me, and we'll get to these in a second. So you're either here or you're here, and you have Christ. So that's what we're trying to achieve here by the end of my 23 minutes, hopefully. I know nursery is really looking for an early night tonight, unlike the summit where they'll be in there forever. Till 11:30 or 12 o'clock or whatever it is by the time you get out of there. And we can abound with thanksgiving for that. So we can abound with thanksgiving, but here's the problem. Here's our world today, verse 8. So now let's jump over to, this is what I had to deal with being lost. So if you jump over to the me side, on the left side of the dotted line, look at verse 8. Beware lest any man... You're going to be spoiled. Either you got too much and you're ungrateful and you're untitled, or you're just ruined and worthless and you smell nasty and you're disgusting. Spoil there can have, a dual meaning. But the point is, beware lest any man spoil you. How? Because here's our world right here. Through philosophy and vain deceit and after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So we got those verse 8 ones on that side of the me side. Because that's the world that you're going to grow up in unless you let Jesus do something for you. And we still got to deal with it afterwards. But here's one for the middle. Look at verse 9. We're just trying to rightly divide these verses tonight. We're only going to verse 16. So once we get done with them, hopefully you can find out, because I tried to give you the verses on the column so you can kind of just match up. I want to see if Caleb's doing. What's he doing here? So we're on verse number 9, Caleb. So which column is verse number 9 in? Open up your page there. There you go. Your middle section. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when Jesus came down to earth in his body, his manifest flesh, That was all the fullness of God that you could ever have. We see that in verse number 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So verse 10 has something in this column for you. And what's that? When you're in Christ, what are you? You're complete. You don't need anything else. You can think you need something else, but you really don't. But if you get sucked in by all the stuff over here when you're living in just the flesh, you think you need something else. And then what's that next one for verse 10 with him? He's the head of all principality and power. He's in charge of it all right now. But unfortunately, he's so gracious and so long-suffering and so merciful to the lost world that he doesn't judge sin like he did during, say, the flood. That's how long-suffering God is. We're ready for him to wrap things up and get this thing moving, and let's just get done with all this chaos, right? I know I am, because every day there's just more bad news. But what about those still getting saved today? And what about those that are going to get saved next month or in Africa or next year? That's what God's thinking about. All right, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So circumcised means to cut around. So this spiritual circumcision that he talks about here is basically, it's without hands. It's a spiritual operation. I was going to have a little table up here tonight and maybe put Caleb up there and do a little spiritual operation or do something with an orange. And I'm like, I don't know. There's a lot of little object lessons we could do. But the point is that God cuts you away from your flesh, your heart, your soul, whatever you want, and he seals you until the day of redemption with the Holy Ghost. And then somehow, spiritually, without hands, he puts that flesh back over you. And as soon as you ask him to save you, that happens. And you're saved. Your soul has been saved from that corruption like your flesh will inherit. This spiritual cutting around you. But we still got to deal with this stuff every day. And putting off, verse 11 in the middle, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So God gave the covenant to Abraham with a physical circumcision. Now God gives us his promises with a spiritual circumcision. And we get cut away, we get separated. Just like a church is a called out assembly, it's cut away from the world, is the picture. Verse 12, buried with him. So notice our in him or with him. Why do I want to be buried? Because when it comes to me and sin, the goal is for me to be dead unto sin, but alive. Look at the next one. I'm buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So that's that picture of baptism. You get laid down flat, you look like you're dead, and then all of a sudden you rise up again. Right, Caleb, you remember doing that? I remember doing that. It was a long time ago for me, but I still remember it. And you come out of that water, and it's not like you got saved right then, but you kind of feel a little different, like, I just did something for the Lord. I just showed him and this world a symbol of what he had already done for me. So you can be buried with him, but you're also risen with him. What did Paul say? He said, yay, I die daily. You got to die to all of this stuff over here, the me stuff, and you're still risen at the same time. Verse 13, and you, so here we go back to this me. Notice how he says, and you. So now we're back to this. Verse 13, just like Jay said, you're going, what is it, the canoe trip's the 13th canoe trip? Oh, great. It's just that number of rebellion. And you being dead in your sins. So that's the one I wanted right at the top of the list over here. Because when I think about me and all by myself, nothing within him but all me, you know what I am? I'm dead in my sins. Because without Christ, that's all I could ever be. No hope, Nothing I could ever do to resolve it. And that's the problem with the world today, is everybody thinks that they can get to God's home without doing anything God's way. And that's just philosophy and vain deceit and the rudiments of the world's traditions of men that even the church has started to accept. How sad is that? We got to be cut away from all that. That's ruining Christianity. Unless you stay cut away and close to Him. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, it has not been cut away from you, hath He quickened together. So before you were dead, now you're quickened together with Him. Notice that disclaimer. What's it mean to be quickened? When I was a kid, the best drink that I could get, you go up to the cabinet, my mom will remember this, you go up to the cabinet, you had to pry off, you know, it was this little metal container, you had to pry off the top, almost with a screwdriver if you pushed it on too hard the last time, and you take out this interesting brown substance, and then you put it into what? Milk, because that was quick milk. So my favorite was chocolate milk. My brother, I don't know how, but he liked pink milk. That's what we called it, pink milk. But it was Nestle Quick. Now they sell them all in the little bottles, and you got 5 million pounds of plastic all over the earth. We used to just use the powder, and you know, you stir it up, and you can, you know, pour into taste if you like it to be ridiculously sludgy and whatever. That's quick milk. That's not what we're talking about. Because bunnies are quick, right? But what does it mean when we're quickened? Does it mean we get super fast? It's better than being dead, though, right? It's faster than being dead. You're made alive, right? And you hath He quickened with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Think about that for a second. That's the last one. If I tried to put on my page all caps for I can walk, meaning I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Verse 10, I am complete in Christ. And verse 13, I am forgiven. Those are the big 3 points. Those are the joys of being saved. But there's still more on the other side we got to look at. This is one that Jesus does in the middle column in verse 14. Just dividing up a couple more verses. Doing good on time. So Jesus, in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. We know that that law, as soon as we violate that law that God posted, we're in trouble. But it says Jesus blotted it out. What does it mean to blot something out, Caleb? If I write something on here and then I go like this, oh, doesn't mean anything anymore. It's all gone. Like erase it. Let's cover it up. It doesn't count anymore. That's what He did for me. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. So now notice, you got your little piece of paper here. So what I was going to do is I was going to have the kids come up today. If you've been saved, this is what God's done for you. I want to do it on this other one. He's taken away all this. Here's your circumcision made without hands, but I can only do it with hands. See, I can't do the spiritual stuff. So here's all of those transgressions and all of the stuff you got to deal with and all of your sins, and it's just the lost you. But if you've been saved, this is what Jesus has done for you. He took all this and He just posts them right there. And now what's left of me? Well, let me get the blotted one out of there. Now it's just me and Jesus. But it's the good stuff in Him, with Him. Because the other stuff's gone. It got cut out. That spiritual circumcision has taken place. So I was going to have the kids, if you're saved in here, little ones, up to teenagers, and you want to put your old sins up on the board there, now maybe you go, traditions of men, philosophy, you might not know that's what they're called, but when you got all sorts of issues that kind of change the way children grow up and they got lots of confusion about their identities and stuff, that's all philosophies and vain deceit. They just don't call it that. But if you want to come and put all that up there, that's up to you. We can do that. You don't have to, but the point is, Jesus did that for us already. And then in verse 15, and having spoiled, remember who was spoiled at the outset? Who were the spoiled ones? Weren't we spoiled? We got spoiled by, that's back in verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men. But now look who ends up doing the spoiling. Verse 15. This is Jesus. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Past tense. So when did that happen? When did Jesus spoil principalities and powers? When did he win? Triumphing. You know, that's a much stronger type of victory than just win. Yeah, we won the game. Yeah, we crushed them. It was hot. I mean, that's a triumph, is when you just totally annihilate the competition. That's what Jesus did. But when and where did he do that? On the cross. What did he say at the end? But right before he died and gave up the ghost? It is finished. Game over. I win. You go, well, that's kind of strange. How can a guy who just died win? Because he won that game to pay for sin. But all of a sudden, then there's overtime afterwards. So we see that he spoiled all the plans of the devil, all the plans of the Jews, all the governmental authority of the Romans, all those principalities and powers. They're the ones that got spoiled that day on the cross. And we're the ones that got the victory from that. So sometimes in the Bible, you get a bunch of verses that just get kind of mushed together. And Paul has a great way of continuing on. Now, in this particular instance, he's got a lot of periods at the end. Sometimes he just runs on and on and on, and he's got a really long train of thought. But I just wanted to take tonight to give you a couple of things that you know you are in him. You can walk. You're rooted. You're built up. You're established. You can abound in thanksgiving. Now, the question is, are you abounding in that? You should be. You can be. But are you? And you are complete in Christ as a fact. The question is, does your feeling and does your personal place and relationship with God show that? Or is there something else you're holding out for? Verse 11, I'm circumcised, I'm buried, and yet I'm risen, I'm quickened, and I'm forgiven. So just some things tonight that Lord laid on my heart just to try to encourage us in the Lord. Continue to pray for those that are coming back. I think most of them are driving back like Friday. Some are taking a trip through New York or whatever, but I'm just hoping you got a blessing tonight. Pray for our pastor. Pray for our other pastor, Pastor Seatman, going to Mexico. A lot of travel. As all the activities here have kind of subsided, now you got all this other stuff going on, but let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we come to you tonight. We thank you again, Lord, for just all the work that you do behind the scenes in our lives, God, to just give us blessings that, Lord, we don't deserve them, but God, help us to be thankful for them. Help us to abound with thanksgiving. Lord, there's just so much going on in this world today that you could fix, Lord, if we just simply turn back to you in your way, in your word, Lord, as a nation. But God, help it to start with us, with our families, with our church, Lord, that we can impact our towns and villages and cities here. We know we need you, Lord, more than ever. God, thank you for triumphing, Lord, over the principalities and powers. God, thank you for the folks that came out tonight. We pray that you'd bless us as we just go our separate ways here now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for coming out.